Wisconsin Eye coverage of Governor Scott Walker's sixth State of the State message begins today. And Wisconsin Eye is doing something a little bit different in terms of we've asked some of our younger political experts to join us. And we did that because Governor Walker last week announced that a major part of his speech will deal with his, what he calls his college affordability plan. He's also going to talk about some potential changes that will let high school seniors take classes both in high school and getting a college degree. So I want to thank, to my immediate left, Chet Agnew, chair of the UW-Madison College Democrats. To my right, Anthony Birch, chair of the UW-Madison College Republicans. Augie McGinty-Wake is press secretary of the UW-Madison College Democrats. And Amelia Roll is press secretary of the UW-Madison College Republicans. Hey, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Our past reactions have dealt with all these people with, you know, legislators and all these boring old people. So thanks so much for a different perspective. But help our Wisconsin Eye viewers get to know you a little bit. Let us know where you're from, year in college, and things like that. So, Chet, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'm a junior at UW-Madison. I'm majoring in biology and political science and a global health certificate. And I grew up in Madison, born in St. Mary's Hospital, so lived here my whole life.
Oh, thanks, Chet. Yeah. Anthony.
I'm Anthony. I'm a senior majoring in political science and strategic communication from great city of Germantown, Wisconsin. Born there, been around the Milwaukee area for a long time, so Wisconsin resident.
And you're, did you say a senior?
A senior, yep. Senior at UW.
Okay. Augie?
Yeah, I'm Augie. I'm a UW-Madison sophomore, majoring in political science and environmental studies. Originally from Cambridge, Wisconsin, so really small town about half an hour east of Madison. So born and raised Wisconsinite. Excited to be here with y'all.
Thank you. Amelia?
Hi, I'm Amelia. I'm a sophomore at UW-Madison, majoring in journalism and communication arts, and I come from the small farm town, Prescott, Wisconsin.
Excellent. Okay, I have a tradition when I talk to Democrats and Republicans for the first time. Here's the short question that I ask. Why are you a Democrat, the short version? Chet?
It's a hard question, but I think I'm a Democrat just because I really find that my own values align with the party's values. From voting rights to racial equity, lots of things in the party. I think I just find the most agreement there.
Okay, Anthony?
So I came to UW and I was kind of in the middle, just kind of wanted to do the college thing, and the liberal university of UW-Madison made me more of a Republican than I ever thought I was going to be, and I'm a Republican because I believe in the individual, I believe in individual rights, and I think that I'm the best judge of what's best for me.
Yes, you are. Augie.
I think at the very core of it, there's lots of issues that we could all talk about all night, I'm sure. But at the very core of it for me is that I see government can be a productive tool to help people in their lives.
Amelia.
I am Republican. I was born and raised Republican. And to me, I think we really, my main thing is I really value hard work and opportunity. And I think we need to have less government involvement in our lives. And we need to teach people how to thrive off of hard work and be individuals.
Those are very thoughtful answers. Okay, my next question is, forget about the R&D labels. What is the most important issue to you as a college student? And we're going to reverse the order, so Amelia, you're going to go first. Most important issue, forget the R&D part.
I would say, not only as a college student, but as an American citizen, my greatest concern at the moment is national security.
Thank you. Augie.
As I said earlier, in environmental studies is one of my majors, so I care a lot about the environment. So climate change, land use policies, energy use policies are all something that I get really excited about.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about this before, but I'm going to say national security too. Just seeing what's going on in the world and being raised, remembering 9/11 and the tragedy that can come from lapses in a sound foreign policy, that's what I'm concerned about.
Thank you. Chet?
I would say access to voting rights. Just every citizen should be allowed to vote in any capacity that they have, and that's something that we are seeing is at stake. And I think that it's really a core fundamental policy of our country, and it's something that should be preserved.
Okay, as I said, Governor Walker is giving his sixth State of the State. I mean, I don't have to tell you as active politically that it's coming. This is his first State of the State since he announced for president in July and folded his campaign in September. So And he does plan to talk about college affordability. But let me ask you, what do you hope the governor addresses tonight in his State of the State? A State of the State is a progress report to the people of Wisconsin. It's given once a year, and then in odd number of years, he gives a budget address laying out his formal fiscal plan. So I'm going to mix up the order. Augie.
Yeah, you mentioned it, college affordability, and not just in general, but he's going to get into some nitty-gritty policy stuff that we're going to talk about later. But the fact of the matter is it's too little too late. The governor has cut $2 billion from education since he took office in the last 5 years, and now he's proposing these meager tax cuts. And I would love to see him come out tonight in support of the higher ed lower debt bill that would allow over 500,000 student loan holders in Wisconsin refinance their student loans, rather than his proposals that are going to end up affecting only about 30,000.
Well, but to be fair, we haven't heard the speech yet.
I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised with what I hear.
Anthony, what do you hope to hear?
Well, big reason there is a lot of college debt and issues with people not being able to pay back their loans is because we're all looking for jobs after we graduate. So I'm looking to see what he's doing for job creation in the state, for keeping the fine UW graduates like us four will be in the state of Wisconsin to become productive taxpayers.
And rich alumni, so you can give back to the...
We'll have to think about that. If there's a Republican governor in the future and taxes stay low, then okay.
Chet, what do you hope to hear?
I would actually echo Anthony in that jobs are something that I think everyone who is a college student and not a college student is really worried about in this economy. And I'd love to hear some real plans to move us from last place in the Midwest in job creation.
And Amelia?
I have to agree with all of them. I'm really excited to hear about his plans for workforce development and for the economy in general, and any plans he has for providing tax breaks or some benefits for the working class Americans in Wisconsin.
Thank you. My next question in this preview is, get as personal as you want or as distant as you want. How real is student debt to you? You don't have to say how far in debt you are, but if you want to, fine. Anthony.
It's very real. I mean, I have taken out loans. I have loans, and looking for a job that's going to be able to support me and, you know, my future wife getting married in July. Love you, babe. throw that out there. But yeah, it's real. It is a part of me, and it is a part of all of us here. So yeah, it's very real.
And so you are aware that your student debt, however much it is, and that's your business, will affect your ability to eventually borrow for a home, things like that?
Yeah, it will.
So it's a very real issue.
It's something I'm going to deal with my whole life.
Chet, please.
Yeah, I think student debt is something that is not only affecting students, but post-grads, people up into their 60s, people are being denied their Social Security benefits because they still owe money to the federal government for their student loans. So this is something that is affecting not only our friends and family, but, you know, people we don't know, people across the nation. There's trillions of dollars in student loan debt, and it's really just a crisis.
Do you have a student loan?
I do not. I'm very privileged in that my parents can help me through college, but so many of my friends are struggling. So many of my friends from out of state with these tuition increases don't know if they're going to be able to come back to school here because of they're just crushed in debt.
Okay. Amelia?
Yes, for me, student loan debt is a very real reality. I am probably as far in student loan debt as you can be as a UW-Madison student. And even though I work multiple jobs in the summer and I work here at school, I still have to take out a student loan. However, I am the one who took that chance, and I am taking the chance and taking the risk that this education I'm paying for and my own individual capabilities and skills will enable me to get a job after graduation to pay off that student loan debt.
Thank you. Augie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to echo what we all, it's very real. And Steve, I mean, I bet when you went to college that you could work with a job or two and pay your
part-time
tuition.
Part-time in a plastics factory, yes.
And that paid for your tuition.
That and my parents and the plastics factory, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a reality anymore. No matter if you work 40 hours a week, you're still not going to be able to pay off your tuition, and that's insane. We have 812,000 Wisconsinites with federal student loans, another couple hundred thousand with private loans. That's a million people in our state with student loan debt. It's a huge crisis.
Well, part of the backdrop of this State of the State, and by the way, the governor has not yet started speaking, and we will adjourn temporarily when he starts to speak. So Part of the backdrop, though, I found this fascinating. The presidential election. I've covered a few. I've never seen one like this. So I'm interested in both of your perspectives in terms of your candidates. And let's start with the Democrats. Do you feel the burn, you guys? Or are you Hillary? Or let's start with the Democrats.
Well, for me personally, I'm honestly undecided. I vacillate every debate I watch.
Did you watch the last one?
Yes, I did. And Bernie was really strong. But echoing that, Hillary Clinton was, Secretary Clinton, just she's really good at debates too. Unfortunately, Governor O'Malley is sort of left behind in that they don't really ask him any questions. So there's not a lot of student support behind him, unfortunately. But there is, we're really happy to see there's really strong support for both Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton on campus. There's different organizations supporting him. The campaigns are present here.
And Chet, you must be getting calls from both campaigns as a college Democrat chair. Endorse Bernie, endorse Hillary. Are you getting those calls?
No, you know, they don't really look for our endorsements. I think there's so many
but
colleges
they want
your in the
vote.
Oh, yeah, they want us to come out. And
on April 5th, they want your vote in the presidential primary. Excuse me for interrupting.
Yeah, they want our vote, and they also want us to be out in Iowa. That's really the thing that they're contacting students for, is to come help out in Iowa, both campaigns, to come volunteer for
go?
The caucuses. Yeah, I'm hoping to go, not actually for a candidate, but to help out in the Democratic Party with different logistical things in Iowa. So I'm hoping to, if I can get off school. It's a Monday, so.
Yeah, it is, February 1st.
Yeah.
But officially, you haven't either endorsed former Secretary of State Clinton or Senator Sanders.
No, we actually, as an organization, we won't endorse until the nominee.
I'm sure it's the same with,
yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you, Augie?
Well, first I'll just, you know, even on our executive board, we have people, you know, Hillary and Bernie, people say that we're the establishment on campus and we all support Hillary, which is far from the truth. I myself am a Hillary supporter. You know, I think that she's had a really, really proven record over the last 25 plus years of public service. She's experienced and she's ready.
Thank you. The Republicans, I've never seen anything like it. Trump, Cruz, Carson, Bush, Rubio. Mr. Chair, your thoughts on, have you endorsed anyone?
Yeah, it's great to have people that are closer to our age than the Democrats have over there. That's the only one in this whole thing, also, you guys.
Yeah, Hillary's like 60 and never mind.
Oh, yeah,
younger than Donald Trump, though. So.
Let's not get into age. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
No, same thing. We can't officially endorse as an organization. We'll wait to see who the nominee is. You know, Iowa gets crazy, so I think there's going to be some things that are going to change. I know President Obama was down in Iowa and then came back and stormed back to win. I know Rick Santorum in 12 was down way at the bottom and then came out of nowhere in the last 2 weeks to win that. So, you know, excited to see what happens in Iowa and the following states. Haven't endorsed anybody, but one person that I know I can endorse and is leading Republicans is, you know, Paul Ryan. And I think that's a good agenda to look at for the Republican Party, a good conservative, bold, aggressive agenda at reform and taxes and looking at things that, you know, maybe Republicans haven't always looked at, like poverty.
Well, are you thinking Paul Ryan running for president in 2016, Anthony?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's who I can endorse for Speaker of the House. So we'll see what happens when everything shakes out again. I'm looking for somebody that is talking about the issues that matter to me, like foreign policy and student loans and finding a job after graduation.
Amelia, where are you in this wonderful panoply of Republican candidates?
It's a great lineup. There's a lot to choose from. For a while, I was a Walker fan, but as we know, that unfortunately
that
came
ended
to
in
an
September.
End. So right now, I have a couple people I really like, but at the moment, Ted Cruz is definitely at the top of my list. I really like his Christian values and his conservative policies. Right now, he's my pick.
Okay, now we're going to get in some back and forth. Democrats, you ready? If their presidential Republican nominee is Donald Trump, what's your reaction? Now, Augie's laughing. Augie, if you're laughing, go first.
You know, I've talked to a lot of Republicans about this, too. No one likes extremists kind of taking over the primary. I would love to see a more cordial primary process with the Republicans. I think that there's people who have valuable ideas to share. I don't think Donald Trump is one of them. And frankly, I think if he wins the nomination, his inflammatory rhetoric is not going to play well with the vast majority of Americans.
I am all into equal time. So come on. Yeah. Anthony or Amelia, go.
I think that Trump actually, I've heard a lot of people say that. How is he going to handle foreign affairs if he's so explosive? Well, he's clearly been a very successful businessman, so he must know how to negotiate. And I do think that Trump has the money and the ability. He knows who to hire. He can pay for the best of the best people. So maybe we question sometimes him as an individual. Can he create and provide the best policies? Well, if you work on any campaign, you know that it doesn't come directly from the candidate. They have a whole team of people helping them. And I think Trump really could hire some of the best people.
I think you see some similarities here with people fed up with the entire system. I think that's why you see support for insurgent candidates like Donald Trump. Maybe you could throw Ted Cruz in there, and then Bernie Sanders on the Democrat side.
True. Definitely.
People are mad. They want it to start working for them, and they don't feel that it's working for them.
Is that a healthy anger in terms of we're going to elect a president? Is that anger healthy, do you think? Well, anybody. I agree. There is an anti-Washington, anti-politician emotion out there. It's largely the core of Donald Trump's support. He's bringing out some people who don't normally participate. Mm-hmm. Is that anger healthy as we sort through the next presidential election?
I was going to say, I think it's justified anger. Whether or not it should translate to who you endorse as president, I think it's something that both sides can really understand is justified and is valid. I think that you shouldn't necessarily use your anger for the system to influence your vote, but I think that people are not being represented like they would like to be, and that's what this government is about. And I think that's something that we can all agree is a problem that we need to be, you know, our generation is really looking at and seeing and will hopefully affect in the future.
You were going to say, Anthony?
I agree with that. Yeah, just going to say I think it can be productive. It can motivate you to work for reform and change in the system to make it work for more people.
Okay, now it's your turn.
Okay.
If the Democratic nominee is Hillary Clinton, your reaction?
I hope she's allowed to stay in the White House. And I think Jeb Bush said White House, not jailhouse, because the email is under investigation.
Cheap shots.
No. I'm surprised she's lasting in that Democratic primary. I understand the Bernie thing. I get people, you know, being fired up for Bernie and feeling the burn, but I don't really understand the Hillary Clinton thing. She's not ever had to deal with student loans. She's always been in a position where she's fine. I don't see a lot of relatability, and maybe she's the one that can win the easiest, but yeah, she won't be president.
Augie, you've endured, she's your choice. You better answer that.
Well, Republicans have been attacking Hillary Clinton vehemently for the last 25 years. To no avail, truly. She was in the White House for 8 years as First Lady. She got elected twice as a senator from New York. And 2008 was not a failure for her. People forget how razor close that was. She said it best, that we put 5 million cracks in the glass ceiling. So I think the attacks are cheap and phony.
Okay. Democrats, what if the nominee is Senator Ted Cruz?
I think if the nominee is Senator Ted Cruz, I would be mostly afraid of, if elected, the damage he would do to women's health in the nation. He's made really dangerous and frightening claims about Planned Parenthood, for instance, and those are the kind of things that I would worry about not being vetoed by a Democratic president if passed in the legislature.
Amelia? Senator Cruz is at the moment your number one choice. You better respond to that. You better
Well, I understand Ted Cruz to be for life and for women's health because the things that we've found out about Planned Parenthood in the past few months is absolutely outrageous. I don't understand how people can go on and ignore it. It's really disturbing to me, and I think that Senator Ted Cruz would be terrific for women and for life. I think that if Planned Parenthood, you know, as they say, what's been going on in Planned Parenthood where they're selling baby parts, how inhuman is that? That is disgusting. And I am pro-life, and as a woman, I would be more than happy to have Planned Parenthood shut down if they are selling baby parts. It's inhumane. It's disgusting.
Okay, we're a few minutes away from Walker's speech, but I want to give you a chance. If the nominee is Bernie Sanders, go. Republicans?
He wants to laugh just like I did for Donald
Trump. I'm not laughing.
I do. I'm going to make sure my wallet's in my back pocket because I don't want to pay any more taxes. No, I think, you know, I get why people are supporting him. It's so different. It's a change to the system. But how do you pay for all this stuff? How do you pay for it? And it may just be, you know, a campaign promise, and maybe the reality of what he actually does would be tamed. I pray that it is tamed if he is president. But, yeah, hold on tight to your wallets.
He just announced yesterday the Medicare for Everybody plan. Well, Democrats, you want to respond to their concerns about Bernie Sanders?
Well, I think the majority of taxes that would increase under most of Senator Sanders' proposals would be taxes on the wealthy, those who are over $250,000 in
income.
That's
how he pays for it, Anthony, according to...
Well, let's just... If I could just hop in.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I mean, during Eisenhower, that top tax bracket was 90% under... it was as high as 70, 80% in most of the second half of the 20th century, and now that's plummeted. So this isn't... I mean, the tax brackets we're talking about are not unheard of.
We did say we were concerned about jobs and finding jobs after graduation, and from what I've heard from the senator, I don't find anything... that would incentivize any sort of growth. I don't see any lowering of the corporate tax rate to bring American companies back here to hold their money here. That's new tax revenue. That's just going to keep running away because this would be barren earth for job creation.
Well, lowering that corporate, I mean, that's just the same old mantra of trickle down, lower, lower, lower taxes at the top, and that doesn't work.
Well, maybe prior to going to live coverage, Wisconsinite coverage of the governor's speech, maybe one final question. I respect you as leaders, partisan leaders on this campus, but here's my question. Are your fellow students how do you get your fellow students interested in politics? Perhaps not as interested as you all, because you all are really sold out. But is it a hard sell to get your fellow students worried about, I mean, they've got 2 and 3 part-time jobs, they're carrying 14, 16 credits. Is it hard to get them interested in this presidential election?
I think it's something that a lot of students put at the back of their mind and don't necessarily focus on as much as we all do. We're obviously all political nerds, but, you know, most students...
It's the wrong term.
Most students, when you make it personal and just when it becomes really personal to their life, I think that's when I see the most students get involved. Something like... we had the concealed carry on campus bill that was proposed in the legislature, and that was something that students on both sides were really talking about a lot, and that was something that really rallied students both in support and against that bill. And that's something that I think when the people see the connection of the Capitol down the street to campus,
yes,
that's when right there's the most resonance of politics on campus, of people, you know, really talking about it on social media and in classes and things like that.
I think actually college students care about politics more than they think. I mean, I see it every day in class. The professors talk about it every day in class. And really, where most college students learn about politics or become informed without even realizing it is social media. So when you really dig down and have discussions with, I don't know, your average college student who isn't as involved as we are, they do have opinions on these things. And I think my biggest issue is not getting people more involved in politics, but providing them with more tools and opportunities to critically think. Because I think with social media, we are losing our ability to critically think about politics. And we just see a headline and we go, oh, that sounds like a good idea. That'll be what my opinion is. We need to encourage people to dig deeper into politics.
I have one more question. I guess we've got a few more minutes before the governor starts talking. I did a newsmaker's interview with Ray Cross, the president of the UW system, last week. And it's one thing for the president of the UW system to talk about the $250 million cut in state aid over 2 years to the 26 campuses on the UW system. My question for you is, have you seen the effects of that cut on the Madison campus this school year? And all I'm trying to do is contrast what President Cross told me with you four students dealing with class loads and trying to get into classes. Have you seen real effects of that cut?
I have.
How?
To the personal story.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to talk about my girlfriend for a second here. She's an education major, and so every major has certain requirements you need to meet, and you can usually meet those requirements through a few different classes. So for this particular requirement in her major, last year there were three classes that students could take to meet this requirement. Now there's two for the same amount of students trying to meet this requirement, and that may not sound like a huge deal, but it's little things like that. You know, dissipated all over campus in all different departments, that just start to make it that much harder.
Okay. Any other examples?
I haven't seen it a lot of change. You know, maybe on our level, but I think that's part of my frustration is with these cuts and with you know the university having to be more efficient with its money. I haven't seen. I saw something that was from like the late 1990s to the 2004, or the early 1990s to 2004, administration grew by like some 10 times. It's not affecting administration at the university. It is affecting students.
Okay.
So I think that the priorities can be changed a little bit, so that it is affecting essentially the taxpayers, the people that are paying tuition, less than it is affecting the administrators.
Okay, just really quickly, because I guess the governor is going to talk in a little bit. Have you seen it, Amelia, on the campus, just anything?
I have not. I believe that it affects probably smaller campuses, but I think it's really something we need to start asking ourselves is where does our tuition money go? Because I haven't seen it on our campus, and I think it's really important to realize, too, for UW-Madison, we had a huge rainy day fund. Did the cuts really make that big of an impact, or is it a little more of the system not wanting to go without paying professors more? I just think we really need to ask ourselves, where is the money going, and is the money we're putting into education really benefiting us, or is it giving more benefits to our professors?
Great question. Chad, have you seen it?
Yeah, definitely. My friends who are out of state are in a state of peril. They don't know if they're going to be able to keep going to this university with the amount of out-of-state tuition increases that have been that are going to happen. And then not only that is we're seeing faculty leave. We're seeing people move to surrounding systems, University of Minnesota, in different states that are fully funding their universities where they can afford to pay their professors at a competitive salary, which is just something that the UW system has not been doing and can't do if we're starving out of funds.
Okay,
It's not working as is. But I think the openness to ideas to change the system, to make it better, I think our university can do a better job of being open to that. You saw that last year when the governor proposed making it a more autonomous UW system.
Yes.
It was immediately shut down.
Didn't go anywhere.
No, University of Virginia did the same thing. They were facing the same kind of things, just like UW system is facing cuts from Democratic governors, Republican governors. There's not the money there. Jim Doyle cut it, Scott Walker.
And we opposed it when Jim Doyle did it. They're not cutting universities anymore across the country. Most states are increasing their investment in universities. We're one of the few that is still cutting.
Okay.
The Great Recession was years ago.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this discussion, but this is only the preview. Now we're going to go watch the governor's speech. You're all going to have copies of it to mark it up and come back. But let me say one thing. The governor is going to take credit for the four-year tuition freeze in this speech. So let's return to that. Wisconsin Eye Now will go to live coverage from the State Assembly, where Governor Walker will be giving his sixth State of the State speech. And as they say in the movies, we'll be back.